Blog Talk Radio. Well, this is Thanksgiving weekend, but I am so grateful that we don't have to wait for a holiday for it to really be Thanksgiving weekend, Thanksgiving minute, moment, second, day, week, year, month, all of that. I'm just so grateful that we can have Thanksgiving in our hearts daily, all day long, but God gives us the ability in America to have a day that's set aside just for Thanksgiving. Yeah, a lot of people do a lot of Thanksgiving just for eating, but we know in our family, not only church family, but in our family of DNA, we do a whole bunch of thanking God. So before we get started with our things that we're going to talk about, I'm going to turn the service over to Minister Sheila so that she can start off with whatever the Lord has given her, and definitely with a prayer. So, Minister Sheila, are you ready to pray?
Good morning, good morning, good morning. And I want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, God, I thank you. Christ, Son, Lord Jesus, forgive me. I thank you, and I thank you. I cannot thank you enough. I thank you for me, my sisters, my family, my bloodline, my spiritual family, the life of earth. I thank you, and I thank you, and I thank you. Oh, God, I thank you for you are the head of my life. For another day, you have blessed me to see and hear and to be able to worship and to thank you more and to live a life of love that was not promised. And I thank you for if it was not be for you. Oh, God, in your son, Christ, Lord Jesus, I will not be here to even say thank you and to see and to worship another day. Lord, I thank you. I can't stop thanking you. I can't thank you enough. I thank you for all that you have done for me. I thank you for all you have done for my family, my bloodline, my spiritual line, my family that you have put here on this earth, the ones I know and I don't know. Lord, I ask you to send your angels down to bless them, to let them understand that no matter what, you are the answer, the only answer, the only truthful, loving, kind and hopeful and mercy answer that it is among us here on this earth, no matter what the pain, the problem, the situation, the finance, whatever it is you're going through, let them understand and hopefully teach them to know that you are the answer. You can fix each and every problem, thing, hurt, pain, situation, no matter what we're going through. We need to learn to realize we need to put it in your hand, trust and believe and wait on you, because your answer, recovery, the solution will be so mighty, so mighty, so mighty, so mighty powerful, so real, so true, so sweet, so it'd be unbelievable of the outcome through you, O God and Son, Lord Jesus. I need you to bless all the men and women of this world to understand that life can always be life better and love with you. To look over these young ladies, these young men, the little babies, the grown people, each and every human being on this earth. You bless them to let them know you are the head. You should be of their life. There's no other, because no matter what we're going through, you are the answer. And I thank you, and I thank you, and I thank you. And Lord, I ask you to look over all our aches and pains, you know, to heal us and to remove to remove all this unrealness out of the world, out of our hearts, our minds, and our souls, to get these demon devils enough out of us that all this wrongness is not the right way that your life is more important. His life is more important. Her life is more important. Our lives will be the importance of all of love through God and not through the hatreds or the backstabbing or the wrong or trying to get even. You need to look and listen and pray and give it to God, because there's no one above him better than God or his son that can prove and to help us to understand right from wrong. I thank you for Apostle Sandra Thomas, a woman of God, have been true and to honor of your daughter to understand and to teach others. I thank you for Apostle Elect Cecilia Kyler, my sister of blood and spiritual, and to have of this program for us to worship and praise and to acknowledge all the love and all the success and worthiness of you that is within our bodies that we need to realize and to reach out for. I thank you for Prophet Antoine Thomas, a young man of teaching, of knowledge and words and truth and to love and to you. I thank you for Pastor Troy Thomas, another young man, musician, words and teaching and knowledge and answers of God is from you through him to us. And I thank you for Minister Brandon Kaiser, a young man who has the knowledge and the words and the blessing of knowing you and the teaching of you. I thank you for Minister Sylvia Kaiser Wright, a young lady of sister of spirit and blood, and to knowledge and to understand the wisdom and to love and to treasure you. And thank you for Dr. Serena Wright, another young lady, have words and wisdom and knowledge and love for you. And I thank you for Elder Kathy Kendall, who teaches and words of wisdom and to love and to understand the knowledge of you. Lord, I thank you for each and every person. But I ask you to look down on us, to put your hands on us to understand and to help us understand and to learn more of you and to worship you and to understand that no matter what it is, you is the answer. You are the only answer to keep and to understand and to love and to have the wisdom and to understand that we are nothing. We are nothing. We didn't get up. We wouldn't have woke up this morning. We would not have eyes to see, ears to hear, mouth to talk, legs to walk, hands, arms, fingers, or bodies. Some people are not blessed to have all their ligaments, and yet you have all of yours, and you can't even wake up and say thank you. Some wish they had parts of your body parts. Some wish they had parts of your finance. Some wish they had part of your life that you are taking for granted, that you can't even say thank you. And some wish they could just say thank you, that don't have a voice of a know-how, of a knowledge to say thank you. Lord, send your angels down to bless us, to understand and teach us. Send those that don't know about you, that haven't had the pleasure to understand or know anything about you. Lord, I thank you. And I thank you. It's not enough time, enough days, enough months, years that you have given me that I haven't thanked you enough. It's not enough time to say thank you, to thank you more, and yet it's not enough. I thank you every time I think about it, but yet it's still not enough. To thank you for the blessings of life and love is with you and only with you. And I thank you because you are from my head to my toe, my Father, and my only true and loving Father that have blessed us and have kept me through all this trials and tribulations and through this time. Lord, I thank you and I thank you and I thank you. And I want to say bless for all that is listening and thanks for all that you have risen up today to understand that taking time and loving each other is the best. Through love and through you, hatred has no place in my life and should not have it in their life. Lord, I thank you, and I thank you, and I thank you. Amen. Back into your hands with Pastor Alexa Celia Kaiser.
Thank you, Minister Sheila. I love you. I love you. I love you, Lord. Today, because you care for me in such a special way, that's why I praise you. I lift you up and I magnify your name. That's why my heart is filled with praise. Hallelujah. I love you, God. I am so grateful to you, God. I thank you for your love. Thank you that your love not only covers, but your love protects. Your love is the reason that we even have the ability to be restored, because of your love, because of the love of Jesus. And because of your love, you sent us your Holy Spirit so that we could have you rest and residing on the inside of us through your Holy Spirit and your Word, the Word that was made flesh. I mean, that is some love right there. No matter what we've done or said or where we've gone, you still loved us. Just like a parent loves their child, but it still doesn't mean that they won't chasten them. We thank you, God. Thank you for teaching us that although we are striving for the perfection that your son has been a great example for, we know that we cannot be perfect, for we're still in these corruptible bodies that were shaped in iniquity. But God, you gave your only begotten Son, and we thank you. And we thank you that you loved us enough to send us your Holy Spirit that reminds us when we do and say things that aren't pleasing in your sight. There are some people out there that every chance they get, they gossip. They spread slander, talebearers. They're always busybodies looking for some way to argue with someone. Or they're looking for some way to say negative things about somebody. But God, you're not saying that it's okay for them to do that, God, and that's what I love about you. But God, you want us to be responsible and accountable not only to you, God, but to our brothers and sisters. Why be a whisperer of untruth? Why be so quarrelsome? Why always have something slanderous to say about a neighbor? Why walk in covetousness and jealousy? This is not a condemnation message. This is a message that says when you find yourself in those places, what does God's word say? God's word tells us to be a peacemaker, a peacekeeper. God's word tells us to wait on him. He tells us to walk in compassion. God's word tells us about his goodness and his mercy that endureth forever, and his mercies that are new every morning. The mercy of God is an example of the mercy and the grace that we should be showing towards our brothers and sisters. Many people, oh, well, that person keeps falling into sin, as they say, or committing sin or practicing sin. That person's, you know, walking in practicing homosexuality. That person is walking and practicing all types of perversion, fornication. That person is committing adultery. That person is lying. That person is cheating. Well, for that person that is doing that, what does the word say about it? What does the word of God say about it? That thing that you keep getting wrapped up and tangled up in, thing that appears to have a stronghold on you that won't let you go. No matter how you try to break apart from it, it just keeps on pulling you back in it. And you keep wanting to get back in it. You keep saying, God, deliver me. God, deliver me. But every time you turn around, that addiction to perversion, that addiction to drugs, that addiction to that man or that woman that is not your spouse. That addiction. Well, God loves you. And he loves you so much until he's sending his word on today to tell you that what does the word say about it? Are you complaining? Are you murmuring and complaining? Are you a boaster? Are you haughty? What does the word of God say about it? Well, I'm going to give you just a little bit. Romans 1, 28 and 32 says, and since they did not fit to acknowledge God, well, excuse me, I forgot one word, and it's important that I get that word. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind, that's a reprobate type mind, to do what ought not be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossipers, they're slanderers, they're haters of God, they're insolent, they're haughty, they're boastful, they're inventors of evil, they're disobedient to their parents, they're foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless, though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die. They not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. I'm talking about the word of God, what it says. 2 Corinthians 12 and 20 says, for I fear that perhaps when I come, I may find you not as I wish, that you may find me not as you wish, that perhaps there may be quarreling, jealousy, anger, hostility, slander, gossip, conceit, disorder. So just take a moment right now and think about those things that keep pulling you, that you keep running back to like the dog that goes back to his vomit. Think about them. Like I said, this is not a message of condemnation. I want you to think about them. Just take a moment and think about them. Now that you've taken that moment to think about them, now I want you to apply the scriptures to it. Come on now, you apply some scriptures to it that you know. I'm going to give you a moment to look up those scriptures. Meditate day and night on those scriptures Come on now. Take a moment. Find those scriptures. Did you find any? Did you even look for any? Did you even want to apply the word of God to them? 1 Timothy 3:9-11 says, deacons, likewise, be dignified, not double-tongued, not addicted to much wine, not greedy for dishonest gain. They must hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience, and let them also be tested first. Then let them serve as deacons if they prove themselves blameless. Their wives likewise be dignified, not slanderous. Talking about the deacons' wives. Not slanderous. But you're supposed to be sober-minded. You're supposed to be faithful in all things. See, 5:13-14. Besides that, they learn to be idlers, going about from house to house. Not only idlers, but also gossips and busybodies, and saying that they should not. So I would have younger widows marry, bear children, manage their households, and give the adversary no occasion for slander. 2 Timothy 3:1-5. But understand this, that in the last days, there will come times of difficulty, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power, avoid such people. Titus 2:2-3 says, older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and steadfastness. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderous or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good. This is what God's word is saying. Proverbs 25:23, the north wind brings forth rain, and a backbiting tongue angry looks. Psalms 41:7, all who hate me whisper together about me. They imagine the worst for me. Jeremiah 9:4, let everyone beware of his neighbor and put no trust in any brother, or every brother is a deceiver and every neighbor goes about as slanderous. See, it's talking about slandering. It's talking about being quarrelsome. It's talking about being a gossiper. It's talking about being a slanderer. It's talking about some of those things that people do thinking that, oh, well, you know, God is looking at fornication. God is looking at adultery. Well, some of you need to remember that there are no big sins and little sins. God tells us to pray, to cast our cares upon him. He tells us to pray. He doesn't say to worry. He tells us to patiently wait on him. He doesn't tell us to be, so eager and anxious for things. So allow the word of God to tell you the things that are wrong, but also the scriptures that remind us about the peace that surpasses all understanding, and about how he gives us joy unspeakable,
and about how he says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. About how he says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that rises up against you, thou shalt condemn, for it is the heritage of the service of the Lord. His words that said that many may fall at your right hand and your left hand, but it won't come nigh thee. His word that reminds us, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff comforts me. We have to think on these things. What are those things? The good things. We know that the enemy comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy, but we know that Jesus, God, has come that we may have life and have it that more abundantly. Think on those things. Yeah, I know you said, she's doing a lot of pausing today, because this is a day of thanksgiving. This is a day of giving God all the glory, all the praise. This is a day of accountability and responsibility to God. He's given us his love. He's given us his Son, his only begotten. He's given us his Holy Spirit. The devil comes as an accuser. He wants you to look at the mistakes. He wants you to look at the things that you failed at. But God wants you to look at the forgiver, who is him. He wants you to look at the rewarder of them that diligently seek him, which is him. He wants you to take that depression and that guilty and that shame that the enemy tried to bring you away for what you didn't do or what you did do. But bring it to God so that conviction, the Holy Spirit of God, can come and minister to you with the angels and the Word of God. The key is God loves you so much that he stopped by to say, yes, you are to be rebuked. Yes, you are to be corrected. But not for the sake of condemnation, for the sake of love. The parent that disciplines their child because they love them. The parent that rewards their child because they love them. God loves us. He wants to increase your self-esteem because he wants you to know that you are a child of God. He wants to increase your self-worth because he wants you to remember that you're part of the royal priesthood. Remember I was talking about the deacons earlier. Many of us are ministers. We're deacons, deaconess. We're people of God, but yet we may still fail here and there. Not that we're to celebrate the failure, but we're to celebrate the restorer, the rewarder, the lover of our soul, our Heavenly Father. He's bought us with a price, with the blood of Jesus. Jesus conquered sin and death and everything that needed to be conquered on that cross. And when he rose again for each and every last one of us. Let's make a decision that we're going to allow the conviction of God to arrest us and remind us about every time we do something wrong. When the police officers come, they say, put your hands up. When the conviction of God comes, put your hands up. When the conviction of God comes, get down on your knees. Hallelujah. When the conviction of God comes, get down on your face before God. When the conviction of God comes, go straight into his word. Repent. Tell God how much you love him. Tell God how much you want to be right. You want the heart to be right. You want the mind to be right. tell God how you're not going to play the blame game anymore and blame it on this person and that person, and this is what happened, and see, this is what happened, see, this and that. No, 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 no. Remember, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Luke 11:13. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. God desires to give you good things if you ask. Matthew 7:7. God will give us good things if we ask. God will bless us if we ask. God wants us to stay in a posture of repentance and love and grace and mercy, a posture of seeking to hear Him. That's why we've had the few silent periods today, so that we could think and we could hear God and know His voice, so that no other voice would we follow. We're waiting on God. We're being patient. We're practicing self-control, because we know the timing of God is not only perfect, but it's just when and what we need. Come on, let's clear out the static. Let's get a clear, audible waves and routes where we can hear God clearly in our hearts, in our ears, in our minds. Let's hear God clearly. Let's wait on Him. Let's worship Him in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. For they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. We're not asking you to apologize. We're asking you to repent, which means to turn away from it. And when and if you fall again, repent again. Going to God. Keep going to His Word. Keep spending time with Him in prayer and supplication. Keep praising Him. Keep joining with others to praise Him and to lift Him up. For where there's one or two gathered in His name, He will be in the midst. Let's walk in a peace of God, the only peace that surpasses all understanding. The peace that man gives is temporal. That man can provide is temporal. But the peace of God, the joy of God, the grace of God, hallelujah, the love of God, the presence of God, obliterate and annihilate every little weight of guilt, every little weight of condemnation. It is not God's will that we struggle with guilt and condemnation, because we can walk in a certainty that that is not from God. We must have a peace in knowing that God is a strong deliverer. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. John 3:17. When Jesus had lifted up Himself and saw none but the woman, He said unto her, "Woman, where art thou those that accuse you?" Yes, woman, where are those things that accusers? Have no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. John 8:10-11. She supposedly caught in the very act. And there were accusers there, just like there's accusers of man, not just the enemy of our soul, but there's people that are being used by the enemy of our soul to be those people that are always accused and always pointing the finger. But that's not who and what we're to concentrate on. We're to concentrate on the strong deliverer, our Father. We're to concentrate on the Word of God that says He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek you. And who is that you? God. So when they accuse you, when they spread all manner of wickedness and lies, when they misuse you, go to the Word of God. When you react to what they've done, when you should have prayed, when you say all manner of evil, when you should have worshiped God, when you put your hands on someone, when you should have put your hands up and just started praising God. Hallelujah. When the enemy wants to remind you about what you've done wrong, celebrate, because now you want to remind him of everything that God has done for you. He's forgiven you. He still loves you. He sent his son to die on the cross just for you. He said, just like Jesus said, where are thine accusers? Because, see, when God steps in the picture, the accusers get to look in the mirror, not out the window. And, see, it's hard to be telling God about what somebody else has done or is doing when he's dealing with you about your mess. Aren't you glad that God knows how to take that mess and turn it into a message? Aren't you glad that God knows how to take those night terrors and use it as a time of worship and praise and give God all of the thanksgiving that he deserves? There is therefore no more condemnation. You are more than a conqueror. There is no reason for you to be separated from God. Why? Because his arms are out, reaching out just for you. Just one sheep. Just one. Just one. He's a good shepherd. Just one. He'll go for just that one. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that you're one of those people that he came for? Let's remember that we are in a covenant relationship with God and that we've been bought with a price, the price of his blood, and that we serve a holy God, the one and only and true and living God. So, no, you can't make up excuses of why, oh, I'm practicing because God knows my heart. Do you know your heart? Ha! That's the question. Do you know it? Well, ask God to show you how to do a self-examination of what's on the inside of you, and then to take you to the Word of God that will remind you that conviction is God's love for you. Because he's showing you that he loves you so much that he's not going to leave you ignorant of Satan's devices. He loves you so much that he doesn't want you to be that one sheep that strayed away that can't get back. He loves you so much
that he sends his Holy Spirit to convict you, not condemn you, because condemnation looks at what happened, but he wants you to focus on God. You are my strong deliverer. This has happened one time, two times, 20 times. I've lost count of how many times. But God, show me how to search my heart, oh God. Show me how to know that you're trying me and that you know my thoughts. Show me, God, that you know that anything that's wicked on the inside of me, God, that you'll lead me to the way of the everlasting according to Psalms 139, 23 and 24. Open up your heart. Let the Holy Spirit reveal to you, to me, to us, the things that are in our lives that are wrong that he wants to make right. The things in our lives that we need to repent about because he wants to restore us and he wants to move us forward in his freedom and his joy and his peace that surpasses all understanding. He has a mission and a destiny assigned to each and every one of us that has souls attached to it. Conviction versus condemnation. Nope, condemnation's not of God. I'm not saying to keep practicing what you're practicing, but I'm saying practice praising God. Practice meditating on his word day and night. Practice worshiping him with your whole heart. Practice giving it to God. Lay aside every weight that so easily besets you. Patiently wait on the Lord. I say wait on the Lord. Whatever it is, go to the word of God. And then pray to God, repent to God. And I guarantee you, God has a guarantee program that is nothing like this world, that when he really forgives you and that stronghold is broken, oh, my goodness, just praise him. Praise him before, during it, and even after, because you're going to be a testimony, a walking, living epistle for somebody else. So on today, out of all of the things that you may have heard, I pray that you heard about how much God loves you, that he sent the Holy Spirit to not only convict, but to convince you that nobody can love you like God. Nobody. He will forgive you over and over and over and over again if your heart is right. Your heart says, deliver me. Evil says, oh, well, I'm doing this because of this. No, not the blame game, but the restrain and the praise game. Because it's not a game that you play, but it's a life that you live. Why? Because God loves you. So if you haven't heard anything on today, I pray that you heard that God loves you, and that's why you feel convicted. Condemnation, give that back to the devil. That's his. Conviction. He's better than any parent. He's better than any earthly husband, wife, sister, brother, child. Let God, Holy Spirit, convict you as he perfects you. So I love you, and I love you with the love of God. Oh, I see we have some more people on today. So I'm going to see if Minister Sylvia wants to say anything before I turn it over to Minister Sheila so that she can pray for us and make the announcements. Minister Sylvia?
Good morning. How is everyone? I thank God for this opportunity to say to him, Lord, I thank you. For letting me hear the part that I heard to let me know that I have to go to God for myself, that I can't go to him for anyone else. I have to go to God for myself and ask God for forgiveness, to repent, even if some call it repeat. I get to go to God to repent with a pure heart. I thank you for the message on today, Apostle Elect. I really enjoyed it. May God bless everyone.
Amen. Minister Sheila, can you close us out in prayer and make the announcement?
Thank you, thank you, thank you. excuse me. We thank you for joining us today. We thank you for listening. We thank you for joining and to understand and to believe and to thank and praise God and thank Him for another day. Every day is Thanksgiving because when you open your eyes, that's the first thanks that should come out your mouth. When you feel yourself waking up, that should be the first thing. Every first thing, every time you could think, you thank God, you thank Him, you thank Him, you thank Him. Thank Him for giving you another day. Lord, I thank you for all that was listening. I thank you for all the words. I thank you for the love and the wondering love and the wondering life of loving you. It's always amazing. It's always beautiful. And it's never, never stop coming. Thank you all for listening to this morning's program with Minister myself, Sheila Kaiser, and the words from Minister Sylvia Kaiser White, and for Apostle Elect Dr. Cecilia Kaiser, which we come to you every Sunday morning for Let's Talk at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time, 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I also would like for you all to join us on Monday night with Minister Sylvia Kaiser Wright, along with myself, Minister Sheila Kaiser, and Minister Brandon Kaiser, with Iron Sharp Iron, with speakers of love and joy and wisdom and knowledge at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I would love for you to listen on Friday nights with Elder Kathy Kendall with God Still Heals at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time and 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I would just like for each and every one to understand and to realize and to wake up and don't forget and just say, God, I thank you, I thank you, I thank you, and I thank you. Lord, I thank you for us coming here today. I thank you for all the listeners. I thank you for all the words and all the knowledge. I thank you for the life, Lord, that you have blessed me into. Lord, I thank you for me knowing you. And I thank you, and I thank you. I cannot never stop thanking you enough for the love and the joy and the life that you have given me. That I know it could have been so much worse, but I know through you it's all good. And it would all be better because through the love and the thoughts and the praise of you, I thank you for my family. I thank you for my sisters. I thank you for the world, Lord. I thank you to understand us and to help us to understand you more. And I thank you to bless us all and to look all over us and send your guardian angel to the ones that don't know and the ones that do know to a little more teaching and knowledge of you. We can never know enough. You can never learn enough. You can never thank you enough. And God, I thank you because I cannot never, ever love you enough. I thank you because if it wasn't for you, the head of my life, I would not be here today to worship and to praise and to thank you. Because yet, tomorrow is not promised. The next few minutes is not promised. But Lord, I want to thank you and thank you and thank you for right now. I thank you, and I thank you for all that are listening. I thank you for all the words. I thank you for each and every daughter and son that you have here on the earth, and I ask you to bless us and to give us knowledge and more praise, hope, and love towards you. And I love you, and I love you, and I love you, and I thank you, and thank you, and thank you forever and ever. Amen. And until next time, may God bless and have mercy on each and every soul. Amen.
Amen. Don't forget our foundational scriptures, saying Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So until tomorrow night, Brian Sharpton and I, with Minister Sylvia and Minister Sheila, bye-bye.